Okay, let's start with the sheets. We're on page 365. Let's finish off last class. We're still in the pre-messianic era. All cell phones off, please. So we're on chapter 24. We finished off the Mishnah last time, and we saw the quote from Isaiah the prophet. Yeshayahu talks about the idea of the end of days. There'll be people who will leave evil, but they'll be considered foolish. And there'll be pockets of truth that will exist in the world. But there's not going to be much of it. There's a lot of sheker, of falsehood, that is going to fill the world. And a lot of it seemingly coming from our people as well. Okay, but that was last class. Chapter 24, verse 16. There is a tradition before Mashiach comes that there will be a population boom. That is based upon a Tosfos in Nida. Now, there's a difference of opinion whether that's a general world population, which pretty much everyone agrees upon, or whether that population will happen exclusively among the Jewish people. I mean, our numbers are always relative, and the Jewish numbers, population-wise, have been steady for a long time, actually, you know? I mean, it takes a lot of, like, pogroms, holocausts, and exiles to do that. But the Jewish population, pretty much, I mean, we should have a lot more. And assimilation, of course. We should have a lot more. I heard recently someone quote, I've not seen it inside, that, I heard this from the chief rabbi of Israel, actually, the ex-chief rabbi, Rabbi Lau, who's now the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. He said that he spoke to a professor, and this is stuff you can kind of like calculate, and he said something like, had everyone married Jewish in America and had like a few kids, what was it to maintain a population? 2.1 or something? Maintains population or something? So a little bit more than that. We would have 26 million Jews in America, something like that? Something like that. You know, I mean, people have left the country, of course. Of course, can't just exclusively be assimilation and, you know, intermarriage, people not identifying as Jewish. But there will be a massive boom in population right before Mashiach comes. There's another tradition.
Specifically Jews or?
So it seems like the world pretty much everyone agrees with, but also among the Jewish people because we're part of the world. There is another tradition, Chas v'chalila, heaven forbid, that Hashem will raise up, this is actually from the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Rabbi Yeshua says that Hashem will raise up a king like Haman if the Jewish people do not do teshuva. Okay? And he's going to want to annihilate everyone. And according to the more modern sources, this could be why Hitler had this incredible meteoric rise to power so quickly, and had the wherewithal to wipe out so many of our Jewish brothers and sisters. There is such a... Once again, whenever these traditions exist, they never have to be fulfilled. Negative prophecies do not need to happen, but the positive ones do. So that's a general cloud. Which takes us to the main area, which I want to discuss, which is chapter 24, 18. And that is one of the most important aspects of the coming of Mashiach. And we're going to see later on today the Rambam spends time discussing it. And one of the most important traditions we have from Chazal and from the prophets and from the Nevi'im, and we'll see inside, that the Jewish people are going to return to Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people, there's going to be a kibbutz galiot, an ingathering of the exiles, which, I mean, is pretty apparent today. But go back 100 years, it wasn't like that, you know? So historically speaking, this is a very new thing of these Jews being drawn back to the land of Israel. And it is connected, and the prophets connect it directly to the coming of Mashiach. Okay, we're going to see as well that not only is it connected, but it is a necessary ingredient for Mashiach to come. We're going to have, as we'll see later on, the majority of the Jewish people in the land of Israel itself. That is a necessary ingredient for Mashiach to come. Actually, we're going to see it's a necessary ingredient for Eliyahu Navi to come along and to announce the Mashiach's coming. Right? There's a certain stage, there's various stages that must happen, as we're going to see. Add to that, the Mashiach's going to be a king. And in order to be a king, you have to be anointed. That's the word Mashiach. And in order to be anointed, you need to have a prophet anointing you. Well, you can only have a prophet, right, if someone's able to have prophecy. And you can only have prophecy if the majority of the Jewish people are living in the land of Israel, and that prophet himself is living in the land of Israel. So there's like, it's like an equation. Various things, like a domino effect, need to happen, okay? In order to have the Mashiach coming. There is an opinion as well in the Gemara that there'll be a certain amount of political independence that the Jewish people will have when they are actually in the land of Israel. And some as well see in it this permission, that we'll have permission of the other nations as well. This is also hinted at by the psalmist, by David HaMelech, where he says, this final point, Al tiftchu benvinim, do not rely on nobles, bevein adam, and don't rely on people, she'ein lo teshua, for they have no salvation through these individuals. So in other words, we will not be under the subjugation, even before coming Mashiach, in Eretz Yisrael, there'll be a certain amount of political independence that we will have. Yeah? And this idea of gathering in the Jewish people is mentioned, even David HaMelech mentions it in Tehillim, where he says, Bonei Yerushalayim. We're going to see Jerusalem as a major part of this. Bonei Yerushalayim. Hashem nidche Yisrael lechanes. We're going to build Yerushalayim. Hashem nidche Yisrael yechanes. And then he's going to gather in the nidchim, those who are dispersed, those who have been pushed out, back to yechanes. He's going to enter them back into the land itself. Yeah? Now, of course, the holiest page, next page, 366. The holiest place in the land of Israel is Yerushalayim. Okay? And of course, that's the most important city that must be rebuilt. There is tradition, for example, on even one spot. I believe it's the Vilna Gaon who says this. I believe. I didn't see it inside. I've only heard this. There is a synagogue, Horva, in the Rova HaYehudit, in the Jewish quarter. By the way, it isn't a quarter, by the way, 1/4. It's actually a ninth, just to be accurate in terms of size, but we'll leave that aside for now. The Jewish section, as it's referred to. However, there's a tradition that before Mashiach comes, that synagogue will be rebuilt. That's also the Ramban synagogue. The Ramban, we'll talk about the Ramban a little bit later today, because he is of the opinion that conquering and occupying the land of Israel is a mitzvah that still exists. It wasn't just for the Jewish people that entered into Eretz Yisrael at the beginning, but actually is a continual mitzvah. He's one of the few commentators that actually says that and learns verses of conquering and occupying the land of Israel to this very day. So he made it his point, as did many people, the Vilna Gaon as well. The Vilna Gaon actually left his family. There's a letter that he wrote to his wife and kids that he was leaving them, leaving Europe and going to Eretz Yisrael. A very powerful and moving piece, but pretty scary as well, of the importance. He didn't make it, but his students did. There's a lot of, the Vilna Gaon students' legacy that is part of, and synagogues that are part of the Vilna Gaon's legacy in Eretz Yisrael. So there's this tradition that people should, go into the land itself. Yeah? Mm? Yeah, I know. I'm just telling you what it says. It's quite interesting, though it has actually been rebuilt in our generation. And it's actually a beautiful shul. I take groups to Israel of young professionals every a few times, and just when they finished it, they allow people just to walk in. Now you got a book, take groups, and that whole big thing. But we're walking past it, went to the Kotel with like 40 of these people, and so it was open. All right, let's go. So we went inside, and it is absolutely stunning. I actually gave a class in that shul. Beautiful, beautiful shul. Yeah, Malia?
If, let's say, you have property in Israel, like, is that going to, like...
If you have what in Israel?
Like, let's say you have lands and stuff in
Israel.
Yeah. Let's say you went and occupied the land now.
To live in the land. Occupy doesn't mean you have to own. You can just existing there. You have to own it. You can rent. You have to own the land.
You
can just...
Yeah, comes what happens to if everyone moves to Israel.
Yeah, do you get to keep onto your land I did hear actually that land in the old city actually is going to be exclusively for the Kohanim and Levim, actually. So I don't know. Listen, at this point, we plan, we anticipate Mashiach coming, but we plan as though he's not coming. In other words, we get our Yisrael because it's a mitzvah to go and occupy the land if you have the schus, the merit to do that. And if you get land anywhere in the Golan, wherever you want to go, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
My brother's yeshiva is in the old city in the Tibari.
Yeah.
Rav Bina has a Mashiach clause in his contract, in his real estate contract, that when Mashiach comes, it goes back to its original owner.
Oh, really? As Mashiach, I like that Mashiach clause. Very good, very good. My wife, yeah, there's also a tradition. My wife has a Mashiach bag.
Oh, my wife also has.
My wife, yeah. I've spoken to people about it. People aren't so in favor of it. My wife is a very religious woman. And she is. It's a bag with all the stuff packed in, ready to go, you know? It's like constantly there, you know? She's got stuff in there. She has this like Holocaust mentality, although she didn't go through, her family did. So she's got like, the, you know, some diamonds, you know, stuff like that, and gold in there, ready to go to barter off, to get through borders and stuff. She's like that. Oh, my wife is messianic, extremely. You're talking to her, you get scared. I've had people talk to her and actually get scared. Yeah, she's actually got a route how to get to the border by foot and stuff. And oh no, she's completely crazy, and she loves it. She's completely crazy about it. Reads the books about it. She's messianic obsessed. You know, she's got a whole thing on that, and she makes sure all the kids have English passports. You know, because you know, and they all got, we've paid a lot of money for, and have like non-Jewish names on the passports. It's like a Holocaust thing, you know, so we can escape quickly. And I said, honey, you don't have one, so I'll send you a postcard. What can I do? I said, honey, you're on your own. What can I do? You know what I'm saying? People used to say to her when she was young, she had Holocaust survivors that were her teachers in yeshiva growing up. So they would say, they were actually, because she's light, she's quite blonde. So they would point to her and say, you know, had you been alive, you could have probably got away with it and survived the Holocaust looking like, you know. So I always point out to her that for the next one, well, the Muslims, I'm going to get away with it, you know, so not going to
put on a turban.
That's exactly. I'll put a turban on and off I go. Okay. I'm only kidding. All right. So there is tradition that the tradition of the ingathering, the exile, and the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. We're going to see the Rambam. We'll see this inside the Rambam himself. But just so we have a summary of it, is going to go hand in hand. Eretz Yisrael is going to be a build up. That means Jews returning to Israel, the land of Israel being built up, and Yerushalayim. You know, there's a very interesting essay, short piece, which everyone should look up. Mark Twain on Eretz Yisrael. He actually went around about 100 years ago. Yeah, the late 1800s, early 1900s. And he had a love for Israel and the Jewish people. He wasn't Jewish, obviously. But I think his daughter married a Jew. I think maybe that's what triggered it. But he had this obsession with the Jews in Israel. And he actually went to Israel to describe it. And he has this crazy like description of how barren it was. And no plants are coming out, you know. We'll see from the prophets, one of the preconditions for Mashiach coming is that the land of Israel is going to bloom. We'll see that. I'll actually bring that source out for you in a few moments. That the land of Israel is going to bloom. There'll be a lot of vegetation and fruit coming out. So there'll be a physical return. There'll be a physical rebuilding. There'll be a blossoming and a flourishing. And Yerushalayim specifically built up. Amanda?
What do you mean by rebuilding? Because Yerushalayim is already built. The
Beit Hamikdash. Oh, they're still building. We're talking about the Beit Hamikdash as well, but we're talking about the whole Yerushalayim, the whole country being built up. Buildings, a palmer block, I mean, habitable.
What's the point of building it now, if it's going
to... Well, so when the Jews return, there'll be somewhere for us to stay.
But I thought when Mashiach comes, it's going to be rebuilt.
The Beit Hamikdash. We're talking about the pre-Messianic. Before Mashiach comes, there'll be a rebuilding of the land. And a flourishing of the land itself, all in anticipation of the Jewish people coming. And a sign, by the way. I mean, when you see the prophets talk about it, it's almost like a sign to look out for, like a good signpost. It's got a double function. Yeah? So according to this, there'll be a small percentage of the exile return to the Holy Land. Jerusalem will come under Jewish control. And then the majority of the Jews will return. Okay? And that is based upon the psalm we just said to you. That's a prophecy of David HaMelech. Yeah, and that's also based upon that's now. Let's look at the flourishing part. There is tradition: the land of Israel will be cultivated after a long period of desolation. And if you look at this Mark Twain piece, which I recommend you look at, by the way, it really was a dust bowl. Right? Don't, I mean, like, we think, oh yeah, Jaffa oranges, you know what I'm saying? Oh, like garnish, nothing coming out. Nothing coming out. Interesting, when Jews leave as well, it seems to go back as well, you know? And this is based upon a prophecy of Ezekiel, Yechezkel ha-Navi, and Ezekiel talks about this, where he says, 36:8, one second. So listen to the connection. But you, O Mount of Israel, will give forth your branch and bear your fruit, because my people, Israel, are soon to come. So the prophet connects, the cultivation of the land and the fruit, because in the same pasuk it says, because the Jewish people are kervu lavo, karov, close to coming. Okay, that's the prophet Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 8. So we see also this. So now let's have a look at the logistics of it, which we already mentioned. Let's see it inside. He says, there's another important reason why the ingathering of the exiles must precede the coming of Mashiach. And there's tradition regarding the advent of the Mashiach era that we must have prophecy. Prophecy is going to return before Mashiach reveals himself. Okay?
What do you define by prophecy? Like a person just coming up and saying,
so there are certain conditions. Okay, we don't really have prophecy nowadays. I mean, the Jewish people have not been a prophet organization for 2,000 years. Prophet organization, you get it? Prophet organization, hello? Okay, never mind. So, seemingly, there will be an ability to foretell the future and, interestingly enough, to locate things. You see, it's not just the rebuilding of Jerusalem, building the temple. The reason why we can't build the temple is, well, for political reasons, but also technical reasons. You have to know exactly the Rambam, you have to know exactly where things go. Where is the Kodesh Kedashim? Right? Where are all these things? Now, that can only come through a level of Nevuah, because there's no human today who knows logistically where the various implements and various things inside the base of Mikdash actually are. The final, there's a very interesting, one second, Meredith. The final prophecy of the final prophet, you know who the final prophet was? It was Malachi. Malachi was the final prophet, and his final prophecy, which kind of like, I mean, it comes at the end of all prophecy before the system shut down and there were no more prophets. So the final prophet that ever came to the world from Malachi says something very, very interesting. And actually, these words written on the peruches, on the curtain, the ark of my yeshiva. And it says, Zichru, this is Malachi chapter 3. It was a short prophecy towards the end. Zichru Torah Moshe, remember the Torah of Moshe Avdi, which I told about at Chorev, I'll call Yisrael Chukim Mishpatim. Remember those laws. Good introduction. Hinei, Anochi Sholech Lachem Es Elyon Navi. I'm going to send you Elijah the Prophet, lifnei bo yom Hashem, before the day of God comes, Hagadol v'hanora, the very great and very awesome day that is coming. So before that comes, the prophet says, Eliyahu is going to be here. So prophecy comes back, right, before Mashiach comes, right, because he's a prophet, he's Eliyahu Navi. V'heishiv, very famous verse, V'heishiv leiv avos abanim. I'm going to return, please look up these words, I'm going to return the hearts of fathers to the children. And then it says, V'leiv banim al avosam. And I'm going to return the hearts of children to their fathers. Okay? Penavo ketzias aris cherem. And then it says, usually the custom is to say, I'm going to send you Eliyahu the prophet. So they repeat, the custom is to repeat that last verse. Again, everyone repeats it together. When it's read as the Haftorah, they read it twice. So what's interesting is, first of all, you need Eliyahu first, and as a prophet, fine. But you see that children are going to return their parents. Children are going to return their parents. That's what it says. Right? The prophet says very clearly. Which means that children will be having more of a heart towards this, and will actually be bringing their parents back. So they learn after this, one of the signs of Mashiach coming is what we call the Baal Tshuva movement, that we have a generation where children will actually know more than their parents when it comes to Torah and mitzvahs, and will actually be bringing their parents back to the fold, which is unusual because usually parents are more than their kids. But that is actually one of the signs they bring out, fascinating enough, from this final prophecy of the final prophet. Okay, but leaving that aside, just the Eliyahu part. So this is necessary because we said Mashiach will be a king, and a king can only be anointed by a prophet. And besides this, Mashiach himself is going to be a Navi. And we'll see later on the Rambam, the grace of all of them, second only to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, he will not have that level. So we're going to need prophecy back. Okay, so we said prophecy is going to take place in the land of Israel, not in any other land. There are a couple of exceptions historically, but they were exceptions to the rule. And the rule is, and it still is the rule, that it has to happen in the land of Israel. The land of Israel is not conducive to prophecy at all times. Before prophecy can exist in the land of Israel, it must be inhabited by the majority of the Jews in the world. Now, you have to appreciate that for 2,000 years, the majority of the Jewish people have been outside of Israel. Right? The diaspora. Galut, as we call it. What's fascinating is that we're actually getting close. According to Bibi Netanyahu, I don't know how he knew this, he says we've done it. Right? But I guess he probably has to be the Prime Minister, you know? And they are trying to get, they're trying to get the Israelis back there as well. There's a big incentive, you know, to get all the Israelis that left Israel, to get them back into Israel. They give them tax incentives, they guilt them out, they made a whole bunch of commercials, which, you know, do you ever see those commercials, by the way, they made to pull them back? Do you ever see these commercials? Oh my goodness, you got to see these. They had these commercials specifically for Israelis outside of Israel, and actually offended a lot of them. I thought they were brilliant, personally. But offend a lot of Israelis that I knew. By the way, how many Israelis are there in America? Anyone know? So unofficially, there are maybe like 500,000. Unofficially about 1 million, I think. It's like a fifth of the population. Like 20%, something crazy like that. So they had these commercials of a Skype conversation between grandparents in Israel and their children and grandchildren in America, and they were Skyping, and behind the grandparents saw the menorah lit, and they're like, what's behind you over there? And the boy says, well, what holiday is it? And he says, it's Christmas! Oh. Right? And they said, come back to Israel. So that offended a lot of Israelis. That offended a lot of Israelis. There was another one which was also a little guilty. It's just fascinating. I find this fascinating. They give a lot of incentive. They want them back. You know, it's like, especially the brain drain, you know? But there was this other one where they had this girl sitting in front of the computer, Israeli, and it was Yom HaZikaron, and there was like a candle, and she was looking at the computer, and she was like crying. And her boyfriend walks in, an American guy, right? They don't intimate whether it's Jewish or not, and he's like, Yael, what's wrong? Why are you crying? Oh, it's not that bad, whatever. He's like trying to cheer up, and like, he's not going to get it. Come back to Israel, you know, this kind of thing. It was like, wow. So there's this concern that even by the Israeli government, and they are giving incentives to actually get them back. But that aside, we need to have most there. And according to some, we're on the tipping point of the majority of the Jews in the land of Israel. Okay? Okay. So we're definitely getting close, and more every year. Okay, so an important event that's going to happen in the Messianic era is the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Actually, we're going to see from the Rambam, one of the proofs that the Mashiach is Mashiach is that he built the Beis HaMikdash. To prove he is the Mashiach, he's going to actually have to take the Beis. Now, he can't do it in Haifa, and he can't do it in Tel Aviv. He's got to be in Yerushalayim, and he's got to do it exactly on the Har HaBayis, on the original spot, on where it was traditionally. And we said, in order to do that, he needs to have Nevuah to know exactly where it goes. You can understand the political sensitivity that goes with touching. Yes, Meredith.
Doesn't that mean that Mashiach has to be rich?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. I wouldn't say rich. I mean, he could be. Some say he'll actually be a poor person. But what he will be able to do is to rally people.
He will be,
you're going to assume, be a trendsetter, a Torah scholar, we're going to assume he's been a great communicator. But then again, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't. He had a lisp. He wasn't a great communicator. He was able to, rally the masses. But we're going to assume that the Mashiach is going to... He will have certain abilities. And by the way, he's going to have a tremendous sense of smell. About that in a few moments, by the way. Yeah.
And then about the prophecy, like you said, prophecy has to come back. But everybody thinks that prophets are crazy now. If the prophet were to come back and say that whatever...
Right, so I think you say, the vision of prophecy you're describing are those people who walk through the street saying, the end is near, we're going to die. Don't eat peanuts, right? Don't sit down too often, whatever they say. You're always like ranting off on different things. So to be a prophet, he didn't just turn up out of nowhere. It wasn't just like, oh my goodness, God spoke to me. It was a process. They were great Torah scholars. They spent a lot of time working on themselves and had to prove it. And actually, there's rules of prophecy. Things they had to predict, I think two or three things they had to predict, which had to happen, which are not predicted, which go against the laws of nature, right? Something, they had to predict certain things in order to qualify as a prophet. Look, Moshe Rabbeinu, even he was nervous he wouldn't be accepted. And there was tradition that there would be a redeemer at that time. He had a certain password, a code word. Some say, I saw this inside actually, that there's a certain code word. The code word originally was Pakod Yifkod. Moshe Rabbeinu came with a certain code word, which had been passed down, which the leaders of the generation were always waiting for the person who had that certain code word, which no one else knew. So that could exist again. But there'll be a Pakod Yifkod, I will surely remember. Pakod Yifkod. It could be the Mashiach will have a certain code word, which will open the key to the safe. You know, like the double key. So he'll have one, and someone else will have the other. You know, that could well be as well. I don't know. Is it up for a job? It's up on, I don't know. Is it up on monster jobs or something? I don't know. It could be. I mean, listen. Every generation, the only thing we know, every generation, we know this from the Gemara, has a potential Mashiach. That's for sure. Every generation has 36 tzaddikim. Right? You have 36 people to choose from. You know, lamed vav tzaddikim. Some are hidden, some are revealed. So there's always potential one person, which is why each generation, when Mashiach doesn't come and the temple isn't rebuilt, you consider that generation as though they destroyed the temple, because it's always potentially available to every door, to every generation. So it's open. It's open. Okay, so that's the base of Mikdash, and according to the Rambam, we'll see this Rambam inside a little bit later, that's one thing he's going to have to do in order to reveal that he's actually Mashiach. And of course we need Nevuah, turn over page 368, because not only can you read build the base of Mikdash if you're prophetic, you've got to know exactly where the stuff goes. And that's why Ezra, when he rebuilt the temple after the Babylonian exile, he had to have prophetically revealed to him where the Mizbeach went. You can't just put it anywhere. There's a specific location where I guess it works. You've got to plug it in the right place. You can't just shove it anywhere. You've got to know exactly where it is. And this is also going to be true with the Mesih Mashiach. Okay? There is an idea of conquest of the land. We said the Ramban. And the Ramban learns out from the verse in Bamidbar, Lamed Gimel 33, 53, that the pasuk that says, "Vahu rashtam es haaretz," you shall, drive out, work out the land. You know, "Vi shavtem ban," settle in it. "Ki lachem natati es haaretz lereshet osah," that's the land I gave you. The Ramban learns out that he says that always exists. And that is a mitzvah of Sheva Seres Yisrael, to actually reside in the land of Israel. And he is one of the few people who actually does say that Pasuk wasn't just for the time the Jewish people went in the first time, but also for the ultimate redemption. Okay? There's another tradition in the Gemara they bring down, that there will be, this is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, says there are a number of things that are only acquired through great suffering, and one of them is Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And according to many commentators, this suffering has already been fulfilled. The suffering the Jewish people have gone through in order to acquire the land this time could well have done that. Okay? Okay, 24:25. Are you following? The prophet Isaiah gives his most famous prophecy in terms of Eretz Yisrael and the coming of Mashiach in chapter 11 of Isaiah the prophet, verse 11 and 12. And he says, Vahaya, Bayomahu, you see the English inside, Yosef Hashem Shenis, God is going to gather together for a second time, Yado, his hand, Liknos Shara Amo, to gather in the rest of his people, assume there's people still there, Ashesh Ema Ashur, exists from a place called Ashur, Mimisraim from Egypt, Umir Patros, Umi Kush from Ethiopia. Kush is Ethiopia, by the way. Yeah. Umi Elam, Umi Shinar. I mean, a lot of these places, we don't know where they are right now, but they're around. Umahasmi Yehayam, and from the places far off, Vanasa Nes, and he's going to raise a banner. Nes is a miracle, but actually the word Nes actually means a banner, a flag. Lagoyim, Vasaf Nidcha Yisrael. And he's going to pull together the ones who were kicked out of Israel. Unafutzos, Yehuda, Yekabe, he's going to gather together. Mi'arba Kavazaros, from the four corners of the world. Second time. What's the second time? So some say just like the Egyptian exile, God gathered together the people and eventually took to Eretz Yisrael. This is the second one. And I think we make a reference of this in the Kedusha of Musaf on Shabbat. Right? Shenis, he's going to redeem us Shenis, second time. So Egypt is the first one. And this is the last one. Those are bookends in and of themselves. There'll be a second redeeming and pulling together. That is a clear prophecy from the prophet Isaiah. Okay? There is another tradition that great suffering will happen before the advent of Mashiach. Uh-huh. And of course, we'll talk about the war of Gog and Magog that will happen in Eretz Yisrael around Yerushalayim. It's actually in Israel itself. And they say this battle will be the final battle between Tov v'Ra, good and evil. So there's discussion, is it a person, is it a nation, Gog from Magog? Rav Hirsch says it's an idea, nations that are non-believers, we're not too sure. But it's going to be happening, and happening in Israel. There's also another tradition of someone called Mashiach ben Yosef. I mean, as far as I can see, there's a discussion whether it's before or after. Mashiach ben Yosef is from a different tribe, because Mashiach ben David comes from the tribe of Yehuda. But for whatever reason, there'll be another individual who some say will be killed. Some say it's actually been nullified, but will be killed in the battle of Gog and Magog. One of the prayers you see in the tefillah, they always say you have to have in mind during that Semech David prayer, according to the, you know, you see in the Kabbalistic addendums, they always have in these, some of these Siddurim, you have to pray the Mashiach ben Yosef will not get killed in the final battle of Gog and Magog. But some kind of battle, and there'll be a Mashiach ben Yosef. Or some call him Mashiach ben Ephraim, right? Because it will come through Ephraim. That will happen right before. Okay? And some say, actually, that's really the battle. It won't be Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef will be the one who's going to lead the war of Gog and Magog. And some say this Gog and Magog event has actually occurred, I guess. And this is based upon a prophecy of Ovadiah, page 369, 370. 1 second, let me just finish this off. House of Yaakov will be Eish, fire, and the house of Yosef, a flame, and the house of Esau, stubble. And they'll see like a little bit of fire will burn up the entire house of Esav. Okay? And we know that Amalek comes from Esav. And one of the basic principles of Judaism is that there will be a final war, and Amalek will be finally wiped out. Okay, Amalek is the descendant of Esav. And he has traveled through the nations and through history and driven us crazy. We know that Haman, right, was Ha'agagi, the Agagite, from Agag, which was from Amalek as well. So Mordechai was fighting that battle as well for us during history. Modern-day scholars all pretty much agree that the trait of Amalek, of the Germans, the Nazis, was Amalekite. One of my rabbis used to, he should rest in peace, Rav Bulman would say, whenever you see a nation that wants to attack the Jewish people with no ulterior motive and makes no sense, not for financial gain or territorial gain or any other form of gain, just want to hurt us because we're Jewish, that's a Malik character trait. See? From the time that a Malik came to attack the Jewish people in the left Mitzrayim, knowing full well they're going to get burnt and killed, right? The first ever suicide mission against our people. He would say, actually, he actually said this after a terrorist attack, that when you see, because now Amalek may not be a nation, maybe individuals within other nations, but He says, whenever you see these nations that want to attack us for no reason whatsoever, I mean, many nations want to attack us anyway, but there's some kind of gain, territorial or otherwise, you know. But just attack us because we're Jewish, that's an Amalek trait. Right? Like Haman, it made no sense. He was had everything he wanted. He was just annoyed by us, wanted to kill us, you know. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, same thing. It was just this constant desire to wipe us out. Let's just finish this off, then we'll jump aside the book. So we see this other relationship with Mashiach ben Dov, Mashiach ben Yosef. Some say actually it's referring to the time of Mashiach ben Yosef, that they'll actually be at the same time, they'll be together. Some say he'll die, and he'll be mourned by the Jewish people. At that point, after that battle of Gog and Magog, Eliyahu Navi is going to turn up. And that's based upon the prophecy of Malachi as well, as we just read to you. Right? Before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu is going to be here. And his job will be priest to the world and lead people back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, which is why he'll the Tshuva movement will be him as well. To bring Jewish people back to Torah mitzvahs. Okay? As well as to anoint Mashiach ben David. That's his job as well. Okay. So that's the time. I just want to just write down two very important words. Sorry to pick on them, but they are important. And that is the words of Isaiah HaNavi, Yeshayahu, and he says, you write this down, chapter 60, verse 22. Okay, he gives the two code words, which are, we've mentioned this already, but I want to see it inside. Be'ita, and then he says, Achishena. Be'ita, Achishena. Those two words, the commentators say, are the two ways that Mashiach can come. Be'ita is in his time. In his time, which is the established time that we are guaranteed Mashiach will come. I believe the Ramban says, and others say, that is actually the 6,000th year. That is the guarantee. End of the 6,000s, Mashiach comes. Achishena is pull it. We can pull, drag it, and make it come closer. That's not the exact translation, but Achishena is to pull closer. All right? In his time or earlier. Yeah? That is, it's hastened. It's quickened. It's quickened. It's hastened. Okay? So those are the two ways Mashiach come. Ba'ito, Achishena. That's Isaiah the prophet, chapter 60, verse 22. Okay? Okay, let's talk about that's the pre-Messianic era. Let's talk a little bit about the person, the man himself. Okay? So a lot of these things said already. Let's start with the Rashi on that piece of Yeshua Navi around that time. And Rashi talks about the word Mashiach. So Mashiach, we said, means to anoint. We're page 37 in the books now. 37. Yeah. So now we're getting down to the nuts and bolts of the person. So we looked at the Zman, which is all fitting, and then there'll be an individual. According to most opinions, that he will be individual that will actually come and fulfill and like finish it all off. Okay? Says Rashi, the word Mashiach, as well as to anoint, is also a lotion of Sarara Ugadula, of leadership. So he's going to lead. Right? He's not going to sit in the background, right? But he will be a leader that will be extremely well known throughout the entire world, by Jew and by non-Jew. Let's have a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, and he based upon the Hilchos Tshuva. This is actually in Sanhedrin, and he says, "Aval Yemos Mashiach Uzman Shebo Tachso Malchus Shro." We know the Mashiach comes; there will be a return of Malchus, of kingship. Well, we're going to have kings again among the Jewish people. Right, and we assume that when he dies, right, he's not going to live forever, his son will take over. Vayichzru l'Eretz Yisrael, vayaosa melech ha'omer b'makom malchut Zion. And he will establish his place of leadership in Zion. Zion's an interesting word, by the way. Zion, right, we always sing it and say it, it's mentioned in the prophets. And, right, so Zion, I think, used to refer to just Yerushalayim. Then it came a code word for all Eretz Yisrael. I try to figure out, what is the word related to? So I looked up and I actually found it. You know the words like, what's Sion? What is that? Sion, what is that? Yerushalayim, I hear, Yisrael, I hear, you divide it up, it means something. But what's Sion? I'm sorry, what? To save? Could be. The Barbanel, I found a piece that Barbanel says it's related to the word Mitsuyan. Isn't that nice? Isn't that beautiful? Mitsuyan is Mitsuyan. It's beautiful. Fantastic. That's where it comes from. V'yiskadel shemo. His name is going to grow. He's going to become really, really famous. Okay? V'yagila kutsei tevo Yosef agadol malcho shlomo. And his fame will spread and reach the ends of the earth. Even more so than during King Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech was well known. People would come from all over the world to consult Shlomo Melech. He's going to be with us at the Rambam, and he's going to make a bris shalom with the other nations. Okay, the other nations are going to make a peace with him. So Hilchos Shuvah, chapter 9, verse 2, and he says, "Hamelech she'amod nizer David b'chabal chochma yeh Yosef Shlomo." He's going to be smart than Shlomo Melech. And believe me, Shlomo Melech was smart, right? He's going to be smarter than him. The Navi Gadol, who a great prophet, we said, Karov L'Moshe Rabbeinu, close to Moshe Rabbeinu, but not quite. Right? There is a principle of faith, which the Rambam enumerated as 13 principles of faith, that the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest that will ever, has, is, and will ever be. So he can't beat Moshe Rabbeinu. However, it will be close to it. The Lefikach, he says, Yilmad Kol Ha'am V'Yorel So Derech Hashem. He's going to teach, and people are going to fear God because of him. The Avot Kol Goyim L'Shmo. Non-Jews are going to come and listen to him. Non-Jews are going to come and listen to him. Shneimar V'Yabachris Hayamim Nachon Yehar Beis Hashem Barosh Harim. There will be a house, referring to the temple, on the mountains, referring to Yerushalayim, which is a mountainous region. He's always travel up to Yerushalayim. Hence, Aliyah L'Regel, you go up. V'Nisa Megivus V'Narei Lav Kol Goyim. The non-Jews will come to him. V'Cholo Amim Rabim. The non-Jews will gather around him. And they will say, come, let us go together, and let's walk in his ways, based upon the prophet. Okay? We also know he's going to come from Yehuda. Lo yoso shem Yehuda, mochik ben raglav. It says in the Torah, ad ki yavo shilo. Right, that's one of the names of Mashiach mentioned, or hinted at, I should say, in the Torah itself, which Yaakov revealed to his kids before he was stopped. Yes, Malia. Okay, so Tchias HaMesim is interesting. It may be connected and overlap with this, but it's its own thing. And there's not too much known about it. We don't know. The prophets really didn't get it. We have prophecy on it, but it's not like this topic. There's very little on it. So I can't really answer any specific questions on what it's going to be like. I spoke to many Rabbon about this. When I said I teach Tchias HaMesim, they said, we'll just learn through the prophets a little bit. Get people used to the facts. But it is a principle of our faith. It's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam. By the way, when the Rambam made the list of 13 Ikrim, which we're going to learn as well later on in the semester, God willing, although we're touching upon a bunch of them this semester, that's how you become part of... Without that, you're not part of Klal Yisrael, he says. So whatever this Tchias HaMesim thing is, you've got to be connected to it just because it's one of the Emunas. But we're not too sure. You have to believe, yes. Resurrection of the dead, you have to believe. Tchias HaMesim is number 13 the Rambam lists. If a person rejects any one of these 13, he says, they're not part of the Jewish people. Kofar, and there's no mitzvah to love that Jew. I'm talking about a knowledgeable person. Reincarnation is no. That is not. Yeah? Right. That's a very nice question. Mashiach's going to come, the truth will be revealed, and the Sfan will be the chosen people. Okay. Those are minhagim. No one says that eating rice on Pesach, kidney oat, is chametz. There are various traditions, cultural, sociological, and logistical, which came to our people. One thing Eliyahu is going to do, actually, is answer all the questions we have. Many times when you learn Gemara, it says teku, right? Which means tishbi, yitaret, kushos, or bios. Eliyahu Navi, the Tishbi, will come along and answer all of our questions. So, big areas of halacha, there's some big areas which have been left alone, which will be answered. That's a small little, in the scheme of things. I don't think that has to change. I don't think that has to change. I don't know why a nusach has to change. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know if a nusach has to change. We're all davening the same, but there's just certain variations over there. Yeah? I don't think that has to change. Okay? All right, so we saw that piece. There is, I'll just mention one thing. The bottom of page 38. Again, in order to be Mashiach, everyone agrees, pretty much everyone agrees, have to be a direct descendant, well, the Rambam says it for sure, and he's the only one really paskind on this, that you have to be a direct descendant of David HaMelech, and you've got to prove it. You've got to prove it. Yeah? Have a Seder Yichus and prove that you are a direct descendant. Now, there are various stops along the way. You can go back to the Maral, who goes back to Rashi, who goes back. And by the way, there were many of these books. I actually met someone who actually has, again, some of it's hard to believe, but he had a thick book at home, which has his lineage. This guy Monsi lives near me, and I was at his house once for Shabbos. He showed me the book that showed his family all the way back to Adam HaRishon. Now, that is like Rav Papa's in there, you know, all the Amorayim, a bunch of Tanaim in there. I don't know. They say there are people who have back to Maral, and the Maral have back to Rashi, and Rashi back to David HaMelech. So there's some who like, but people, but they say before the war, many people had such books that took them back, you know, centuries and centuries. You know, there were people who said this. Nowadays, they say during the war, a lot of people lost that, but I don't know. There are some that say the Kabbalists do say that he'll be a reincarnation of David HaMelech. I don't know if that is to exclude the first interpretation of a logistical, but he will actually be a Gilgul of David HaMelech. That could be as well. Okay, that's the Abarbanel says that. Rav Don Isaac Abarbanel, yeah.
So I also have like a family tree.
Interesting.
To Rashi.
You have a family tree goes back to Rashi?
Yeah,
ooh.
But wasn't it left kind of like open? I heard that it was never actually really confirmed.
What wasn't confirmed?
That Rashi is a descendant.
It's an accepted tradition. I can't prove it. It's an accepted tradition that he was. What's your family name that was presented?
Elberg.
What? Elberg.
Yeah.
Elberg. Well, do you know other names it's been along the way? It's like, this is Ben Acha Ben, father after father, 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 father.
It used to be Heller or something, but we have a lot of descendants.
And you have this actual book, you have a book at home, it goes all the way back?
It's just like a really long paper.
Really? It has to be very long. It's going to be like 1,000 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot of generations.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Wow. Okay. I like that.
How does Sephardim know where they're from?
What do you mean, how does Sephardim know? Oh, you see, I don't know, actually. I don't know. Maybe they have this proof as well, that somehow they come, you know, they go back. I don't know. He's going to have to do a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, one second. To prove him Mashiach is not going to be an easy job.
Okay.
Yeah, I just can't believe it. That's why the Rambam's going to see, we'll see inside, he's going to do a bunch of stuff. He's going to prove he's a prophet, and that was going to announce him. I mean, one second. As far as I'm concerned, everything we discussed in this course so far is small miracle. I'm talking small. I'm talking the Beis HaMikdash flying out of the sky in great flames and landing on Temple Mount compared to the biggest miracle, which would be a bunch of Jews will agree on one person. That's like it. I mean, you can't have two Jews in a shul agree whether to put the AC on or off without getting into a fist fight. You can't have two Jews agreeing, right, about the window open, window closed. And we're now saying that the entire Torah Jewish population will actually agree on one person. I mean, trust me, that is crazy. I mean, that is it. By the way, it's going to be unanimous. It's going to be unanimous. But that's the biggest miracle. The Jews agree? I mean, is it what? I don't think they'll have a choice. What happens to every Jew, you know? Everyone's going to know and realize.
And the ones that are Christians now.
Well, they're not Christians. That's the whole point.
No, really.
If they are luckily Jewish, Mashiach, we're going to see. One of the things that makes Mashiach, we'll see this inside, next page, is he's going to go around, and the posuk of the prophet is Vehericho, which means he'll be a very animated person. But the Gemara learns out that actually it's the word from Reach, he'll have a certain sense of smell. And through a sense of smell, whatever this means, and by the way, the sense of smell is very interesting. Well, the word Reach comes from Ruchanias, it's from spirituality. So he'll be able to smell it and tell people, you're a Kohen, you're not, you thought you were a Kohen, you're not. You didn't think so, you're actually a Kohen. Go purify yourself. All right? He's going to tell people you're actually Jewish. He's going to say to people that you're not actually Jewish, so I'll do something about it, you know. He's going to have that ability to go around and tell people. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron Cohen had similar abilities. They could speak to people and, you know, and even, you know, the Sadiqim in our age have this kind of power and ability. Yeah. Not reincarnation, Tchias HaMesim, resurrection. Yeah, after Mashiach comes, yeah. So either something soon, something a long time after, we'll see.
Like if Moshe and Aaron come back, then why do we need to have prophets that are as good as them or almost as good as them?
We still know you need prophecy as well to do a number of things. We said to see where the base of Midrash is going to go, right, where stuff goes. We still need prophecy.
Like,
and that's before Tchias HaMesim. That's before Tchias HaMesim.
When they come back, are there going to be, is there going to be like a balance of power issue?
We're going to assume everything's going to be fine, that we're going to have that, yeah. How there's to believe, yeah.
What if the person who's Mashiach doesn't come forward?
yeah, he's going to. He's going
know,
to.
Because
we've seen from the prophets, this is his job and he's going to do it. Question is he allowed to and able to, and will, you know, and how easily will it happen? But it's going to happen. It's a given of Judaism. It is a given. Yeah. No, no, that is not true. They say a third will go through great turmoil. There is one source. But there's no guarantees of anyone dying before Mashiach comes. They say in the war of Gog and Magog, there'll be some casualties. I've read a third. I've never read a sixth, seventh. That's not a third, is it? Yeah.
Do we know which son of David Mashiach will come from? Because his sons have a lot of conflicts.
Yeah, it's directly through Shlomo HaMelech.
So
yeah.
If they say...
Shlomo
Melech. Why don't they also say
because David HaMelech has seen the archetypal leader. Yeah. Something about his character himself.
It seems like all of this, like, okay, once Mashiach comes, what happens like, once everything is settled, everyone knows what your Jewish imagination
is. So what is life going to be like? Okay, so we're not too sure because we're not there, but it's going to be much better than it is today. No, no, we've got to a much higher level. Yeah, things will carry. Because the Rambam seems to be around, everything's going to carry on as normal, but things will challenge. It was the thing, things are changing. You know, diseases will be gone, and certain physical ailments will go. According to some, there'll be some rich and poor people at that point. No, that's Tchias HaMesim. People will not live forever. Not, that'll be later on. No, things will, people die, it'll be a normal existence, just a much higher level. We know where you go. You go on vacation. They get everything just wrong. That's a... I never read such a source on that. It could be. I don't see that. Yeah. It could be, though, people will live long because scientific developments will be such a thing. It could be. Yeah. Final questions. Yeah.
Oh, it's not a question. I think it's so crazy that the deadline for Mashiach is like 200-something years.
Yeah.
It's really crazy.
And some say the calendar is missing 125 or something, so there's a...
Yeah,
we're close. We're close.